The week-long course, sponsored by the Bureau of Gender Equality of the ILO, took place recently in Turin, Italy. It focused on ways to prioritize cases involving employees who have been discriminated against or sexually harassed, especially cases where the worker is living with HIV/AIDS or is pregnant. Jane Hodges, who heads the ILO's Bureau for Gender Equality, said the course zoned in on several areas that are receiving a lot of litigation.
Many cases on sexual discrimination, including dismissal of a worker who refuses advances of an undisciplined and unethical employer, but also situations where the workplace itself is made to be so hostile and intimidating that workers actually leave in a form of constructive dismissal, as the judges like to call it.
Among those attending the international course were African judges.
It was a fascinating group, including judge presidents and senior judges from Botswana, Malawi, Nigeria, South Africa, and Zambia. And they were bringing forward very interesting legal issues about their constitutional possibility to quote international standards. For example, the ILO standard that says there shall be no sex discrimination based on sex at the workplace, for example, in the form of dismissal because one is pregnant.
As it stands now, international law can be applied based on the country. Hodges explained that many English-speaking jurisdictions, whether in Africa, the Pacific or Caribbean islands, or even in Europe, they translate international law into their own domestic legal systems. However, those countries that follow civil law can use international law directly.
In the dualist countries, if one has signed the convention, for example, to give domestic workers equal rights, most of whom, of course, we know are women, and the government, let's say, like South Africa, has a piece of legislation, a determination, that translates that international law into the South African domestic legal system. That means that domestic workers who feel they are poorly treated at work, underpaid, denied days off, physically mistreated, can use the domestic law, the South African text, and use the international law to back it up.
One of the main issues in sexual discrimination cases is the reporting of the abuse. Many women and even men do not report these types of incidents because they may be in a community where one is stigmatized for mentioning it. Hodges said this problem was brought up many times during the course.
Taking a case on one's own, particularly in a lot of cases, let's take the sexual harassment or the maternity dismissal example. These are younger women who might not have the time or the money to actually engage in litigation. That is why the ILO has tried over the years to help improve situations, usually set up under simple laws, for alternative dispute resolution so that the labor commissioners, the ministries can help in a less litigious, less conflictual, less costly environment, help settle a dispute between an aggrieved worker and the employer.
A good example of how tools learned from the course were applied in real life is in Botswana.
The weakness in the domestic legislation regarding essential services and whether workers there can strike, that weakness was strengthened by reference to international jurisprudence, particularly from the ILO on the subject. Likewise, a number of cases concerning unfair sexist inheritance laws that had actually been upheld at the level of customary courts in that country, Botswana, have now been held to be unfair under their constitution, and the courts have clearly said that women can inherit alongside their brothers when there's a death in the family.
Ultimately, said Hodges, the judicial system needs to do more in the area of publishing the outcome of these types of cases so that other court systems can be educated. The regular publishing of judgments can help bring about social justice to all courts. I'm Kim Lewis reporting in Washington.